This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is September 21st, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to and all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Good evening. My name is Alan West. I'm joined with Tyler Turner. This is Top 25 Rundown. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing well. It's been a pretty crazy week last week for college football, but now we're starting to get into some good games. About time, right?
About time. Get to the meat of the schedule. Conference schedule's on the way.
Being a Big Ten fan, and I see what we got coming up, I'm looking forward to it. All right, and so I was looking at the games that we had last week, and the first game I wanted to ask you about for your odds, just because it's one that's near and dear to your heart, it's not Oregon, it's Liberty and Wake Forest.
Yeah, my alma mater. What's your question about this game?
How could they – I know you want to go for the win. I do get that. But I think playing for the overtime would have been a little bit better. I mean, I know Hugh Freeze is a gunslinger as a coach, but what do you think?
Well, you're on the road. You're the presumptive underdog. There were 17 points underdogs. Mm-hmm. You came from behind. You had the momentum. You had the kind of I don't know what I want to call the touchdown. It was he threw the ball up and it went through his receiver hands, through the D-back hands, and landed in the receiver hand. You kind of have the momentum. You're the underdog on the road, and all of a sudden you have the momentum. To go for it there, I don't necessarily have a problem with. I have more of a problem with the call. I just think down the goal line, a low percentage reverse to a receiver is not I think a higher percentage play is either to run it or to throw the ball in the end zone. I just think a reverse down at the goal line is – yeah, it could work, but I would rather give the chance for either you're going right at the end zone or you're throwing into the end zone instead of going east and west and hoping there's an opening. I didn't like the play call. I didn't mind the decision.
Okay. I can respect that. I mean, I was keeping track of the game in the scoreboard. When I saw that they came back, I was like, that's good. But then when I saw that it ended and I looked at the score, I was like, oh, man, then I saw that play. I mean, now, if it had been like the Statue of Liberty play that Boise State did against Oklahoma, could have been a little different, but usually you don't see reverses working out like that a whole lot from what I've seen a lot of the time in for certain plays. Let's see. When you did your picks, I believe you talked about Oklahoma-Nebraska.
I might have talked about it. I didn't do that in my over unders that I didn't post online. I did talk about last week with you. There wasn't much to say about the game. It was a terrible game for Nebraska. Oklahoma dominated them, so unfortunately it just was not a very competitive game. Nebraska's not a good team. Oklahoma's a pretty good team. The end.
Can't win for losing some days.
Yeah, do you have something in the background there?
What it was is I had the ESPN score updates because I was looking at that form. I guess we'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way, but that's okay. So what were some of your other picks? You had a USC and Fresno State, I believe, is one of your picks.
I can even go off some of my over-unders from last week because I still have them. Yeah, I had Fresno State versus USC. In my prediction, I thought USC was going to win. I thought it was going to be a higher scoring game, and I thought that Fresno State was going to cover. What the problem with it is Jake Haner, who's a very good quarterback, he ended up getting injured in the early part of the third quarter, and they just didn't have the offense after that. So I think that changed the trajectory of the game. I think at the time it was 21-10 with Fresno State driving. And that injury happened, and then Fresno State just was just not the same team. So, it was a good victory by USC. And I'll go into it when we go into our picks this week. I have my question marks about USC on defense. So,
All right. When I'm going through some of the other games, how you saw a lot of the ranked teams kind of blew people out. I mean, Baylor beat Texas State 42-7. Georgia beat South Carolina 48-7. I thought it was going to be a little closer for that game. At least I hoped it would be, but Georgia's looking very good, like we both had talked about the last week or two. And, I think you're right that Oregon's definitely going to be better than what they showed against Georgia.
I think not only that Oregon's going to be better, I think also that Georgia's just really good. So Georgia's probably going to be blowing out almost everyone. And I do think it was obviously not a good game by Oregon. So a combination of Georgia's really good, and they're going to beat everyone. And Oregon didn't play the best game. They turned the ball over. They missed tackles. But as you saw with Oregon this week, when they played a less talented BYU team, but a team that still was rated number 12, a team that has a solid offense, has some good defensive players. They unfortunately they could not stop Oregon on the ground. That was the biggest thing. They really couldn't stop the ground game. Oregon was efficient in the pass game. And then when BYU offense was on the field, because of the two injuries to Gunnar Romney and Puka Nacua, they really didn't have any downfield game, and they couldn't run on Oregon. So if you can't run the ball, can't get the ball down the field, you can't stop the run, and then the other offense is being efficient enough, what you get is a pretty lopsided game. It was 38-7 in the third quarter. Only reason why it ended up even as close as it was, which is a 21-point victory, was Oregon basically put in the backups in the third quarter and let BYU in a little bit. But it was not a very close competitive game. Oregon dominated in all facets, and I think Oregon's going to be a pretty good team. They're going to be able to defeat a lot of teams on the line of scrimmage. They're going to be able to run the ball, and I think teams are going to have trouble running on them. To beat Oregon, you're going to have to be able to pass the ball pretty good. And there's some good passing offenses in the Pac-12, but not a lot of great run defenses. So I think Oregon will be able to control the games, a lot of the games in the Pac-12, because I just think they actually honestly just have better people. So I think this is a little more of a microcosm of what Oregon will be in the Pac-12, because BYU honestly would be one of the better teams in the Pac-12.
I can definitely agree with that. What do you think about Florida barely surviving in South Florida?
I didn't see a lot of the game. I don't think Florida's that good. They had a good opening victory against Utah, but I think Florida still has some holes on all over the roster. I don't think they have a lot of depth on defense. I think AR-15 was his former name, Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
I think struggles to be an accurate passer. He makes mistakes. He's a dynamic athlete, but there's other parts of his game that he's just not very efficient with. I don't think Florida's a great team. I think they're a team that's probably a 7-5 type team this year. I think Billy Napier will get them there, but he has to recruit better.
That's true. And also, I was watching college football live today, and they talked about how Anthony Richardson, he has 4 interceptions and no touchdown passes this year yet. I know that when we talked last week, I picked Michigan State to beat Washington, and, well, I was wrong.
Yes. Washington dominated that game. That was very much like similar in a lot of ways. It was a different kind of game, but it was similar to how the score is a little closer than it was. I mean, Washington was up pretty much by 20-plus points the whole game. Other than being able to throw the ball downfield a little bit on Washington, Michigan State couldn't run. And then on offense, sorry, on defense, they just couldn't stop Washington. I said this at the beginning of the year when I went over conference predictions. I thought Michigan State was overrated. I just think they still lack the people. I don't think they necessarily are a team that can churn and burn, have a good team, send a bunch of guys to the NFL, and then be right back. They need to start. They need to consistently recruit at a higher level before that's really plausible. I think it's more of a 7-win team, and I think Washington, they have top 25 talent when you look at baseline talent, according to my formula and the team talent composite. And you saw that in the game. They have some dynamic receivers. They have an experienced quarterback. They have some guys on defense that can get after the quarterback. I think Washington is, well, Michigan State, they thought was a 9-10 win team, is really a 7-win team. Well, Washington, that they thought was a 6-win team, is probably more of an 8-9 win team. So I just think Washington's a little better and Michigan State's not as good. And at Washington, a tough environment to play, was a pretty easy victory by the Huskies.
Yeah, no, I can definitely agree with that because I was watching the scoreboard and turned on the game for a little bit and I was like, yeah, they're in trouble. So we're just going to see what happens. Although my pick last week, another one I had, I predicted Miami was going to beat Texas A&M. Granted, that was still a close game, but Texas A&M, they got the win they needed, but Miami definitely has a lot of work to do, so we're going to see how Cristobal does the rest of the year.
Yeah, I picked, actually, I got this one fairly right, meaning I had it be an under, and it was an under. I had them covering the points just barely. They just did cover the points. It was a 6-point spread. They won by 7. I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I predicted 24-17. It was 17-9. I didn't like any of the offenses. I still don't like any of the offenses. I think they both have pretty good defenses. I still like both the defenses. I think they both could win 8-9 games, but they also can lose 3-4 games because they just don't really have great offenses. So it kind of went like I thought. I thought A&M could win it at home, and they did.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, the only other two college football games for the top 25 that were relatively even close was number 12, NC State against Texas Tech. They won 27-14, and then Arkansas beat Missouri State 38-27, and I guess Arkansas dropped out of the top 25 after that win.
Arkansas didn't drop out of the top 25. They're number 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason on here, their number disappeared.
They're number 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha, my mistake.
That's fine.
I also see Pittsburgh and
that would be such a serious punishment. They did struggle with Missouri State. They didn't look great that game, but they didn't quite banish them from – I think they came into the game at 10. Yeah, they came into the game at 10. They maybe should have fallen a place or two. I could have seen that. But, yeah, outside the top 25 would have been a little extreme.
Fair enough. Pittsburgh and Western Michigan, that was a pretty good game. I mean, Pittsburgh did come away with the win by about 3 touchdowns. But still, I was curious to see how that game was going to go.
And just, I think Pittsburgh fell out of the top 25. I believe they're not in the top 25 anymore.
Okay. Well, you knew somebody was going to fall out, then other people were going to come in. So,
if you want to know that, the biggest changes in the top 25, Oregon jumped quite a bit. They jumped from about 25 to 15. Mm-hmm. Penn State leaped from 22 to 14. Pitt's still in. Pitt's at 24. Miami's still in at 25. A&M hanging in there at the end. Florida probably honestly really shouldn't, but they had a good victory over Utah. You got to give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's now Washington wasn't rated last week. They're now number 18. So, and Michigan State is out. Michigan State fell out, which they should. I actually think, like, as of right, like, I don't think, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, not to get into a rabbit trail, I think that you should not actually really take any credence to rankings until after the first 4 weeks. After the first 4 weeks, that's when I say you can rate teams. Because you've seen 4 weeks of data. Like, right now, like, there's some teams that I'm like, really? Should they be this high? Like, I mean, why is A&M rated? Why is Florida did have a good victory. Why is Baylor rated? I don't know. I mean, who have they beaten?
They
lost to BYU. Is BYU good? They just got smoked by Oregon, who got smoked by Georgia. So, I don't know. Oregon, they look terrible the first week, but then Georgia's really good. And then I think BYU is pretty good. And Oregon smoked them. So it's just after 4 weeks, we'll know. Like USC, are they really good? The media is hyping them. They're top 10. They're at number 7. But who have they beaten? A Jake Hainerless Fresno State, a Stanford that doesn't even know how to play any defense, and Rice, which is about as bad as Oates. It's a joke. Yeah. You can laugh. There's no Oates. There's no Oates.
Yeah, no. I mean, I was looking at some of the blowouts that we had here, and I had seen a little bit while I was working. I saw Michigan and Connecticut, how that was a 59-0 blowout. And then you had Ole Miss blowout Georgia Tech 42-0. Kentucky blowout Youngstown State 31-0. Penn State and Auburn, I kind of expected a little more from Auburn in that game.
Unfortunately, that's a team that clearly Brian Harsin's going to get fired. And they have a terrible quarterback situation. They might – I like how they used to be like bad Bo Nix and good Bo Nix, and they're always kind of mocking Bo Nix. Bo Nix is way better than anyone they have. Trust me,
yes.
I'm glad Bo Nix is with Oregon. I like Bo Nix. I think he's going to be mostly good Bo Nix in the Pac-12. And they could use Bo Nix right now because what they have at the quarterback position is not good. Their offense is not effective at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then saw Alabama beat Louisiana Monroe 63-7. Akron beat Tennessee 63. Or Tennessee beat Akron 63-6. Oklahoma State, they played Arkansas Pine Bluff and won 63-7. And, well.
Those are some barn burners right there. Those
I know.
Household names are playing.
Yep, just like Texas played University of Texas San Antonio, won 41-20. Clemson beat Louisiana Tech 48-20. Utah beat San Diego State 35-7. USC did beat Fresno State 45-17. Now, the game that I watched the whole game because, well, I am a fan, was I was watching the Ohio State-Toledo game. I didn't expect them to put 77 points up.
Just brilliant. Those Toledo guys, they're so good.
Well, I mean, their quarterback was a dual-threat quarterback, and even Jim Knowles today talked about it, that the defense isn't where it needs to be yet. But he was talking about how he's gone through, showed the guys on film, okay, this is where you need to be. This is where you weren't. This is what happened. Next time, don't let it be like that.
Well, you have a little more of a test this week. I mean, the Badgers don't have a great offense. Honestly, it'd probably be maybe your offense is the best test that they're going to have in a while. So I think you guys will do fine on defense because Wisconsin is still struggles to do anything more than a running back in a cloud of dust. But we'll see. But you that's definitely a little bit of a test for your offense because that Wisconsin always plays some pretty good defense.
Absolutely. And speaking of different games coming up, what do you got for your picks this week?
Yeah. So this week, we're going to do a little different. I did this, and I didn't end up posting it online. I was going to put it on our YouTube page. I got six games. Are we going to go with the over under, or are we going to go with the spread, or who do we pick to win? Game number one, Florida versus Tennessee. It's at Tennessee. The over under for points is 61.5, and the spread is Tennessee by 10.5. Why don't I have you start? Do you think it's the over? Do you think it hits the under? And do you think Tennessee covers? Do you think Florida covers and wins? I mean, gets the points and wins. What's your prediction? It's at Tennessee.
I'm looking – when I looked at the stats this morning or this afternoon, I saw that Tennessee's been averaging 52.6 a game. I think I'm going to take the over just because Tennessee is probably going to win this game. They're probably not going to struggle very much. I'm waiting to see if Florida's quarterback finally gets his touchdown pass. But the thing is, against Tennessee's defense, I think that it's going to be a 3 or 4 turnover game for Florida. I'm going to say that right now because I think that, unfortunately, Richardson's going to throw at least 1 or 2 picks. I think Tennessee will cover just because as much as I think Florida's going to have an okay year, I just don't see it against Tennessee because how potent Tennessee's offense is, just because now that they have Hendon Hooker back at quarterback, he's been doing really well this year and has been able to lead them to either come from behind wins or just been able to be pretty comfortable being just the game manager for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to probably offer the same kind of similar take. The only thing that concerns me is for some reason Tennessee for many years has struggled when they play Florida. It doesn't matter if it's at home. It doesn't matter if it's on the road. For some reason, they can look good and then they'll look bad against Florida. I agree. There's some holes in the Florida defense. I do like the offense. I like Hendon Hooker. I like some of the receivers on the outside. Anthony Richardson, I do not trust to not turn the ball over. He might make some plays because it's a big, good game. I think Tennessee still, I think they're susceptible specifically in the secondary, but I don't think Richardson's that accurate a passer down the field. I'm going to go 38-24 Tennessee, so I'm going to go with the over, and Tennessee covers the points.
Okay.
Game number two is Clemson at Wake Forest. The over-under is 56, and Clemson by 7. Where do you go with this one, my man?
This one's going to be a little tougher because I think it's going to be a closer game. What was the point spread on it? You said 56?
56.
I believe they're going to go over on the point spread just because even if Clemson's defense does show up, I still predict Sam Hartman's going to have a pretty good game. And also, DJ Uiagalelei, he isn't perfect, but he's been averaging, I want to say, 2 or 3 touchdowns a game, either by passing or by running. So I think that this game is going to be – I think it's going to be closer to 60 or 65 points by the end of the game. I think that, regrettably, Clemson is going to win, but I think Wake Forest is going to make it more of a game than most people think.
So you said regrettably, so you're not a Clemson fan?
I am not a Clemson fan, no, sir. No, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the under. I think Clemson is one of the best defenses in college football. They have probably maybe the best defensive line. Mm-hmm. I do think Wake Forest, I saw them struggle at times against Liberty. If they struggle against Liberty, they're going to struggle against Clemson. It is at home. I think this is going to be more of like a 28-17 type game. So I'm going to actually have Clemson covering and the under. Number three, the Oregon Ducks at the Palouse playing the Washington Cougars.
There we go.
You got the undefeated Cougars at home against the Ducks. The over-under is 57, and Oregon is favored by 6.5. Where are you going on this one?
Well, as much as I'm still waiting to see how Oregon does against Washington, I still think they're going to pull it out. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout per se, but until anyone really shows me otherwise, I can't bet against the Ducks. I hate to say it, but it just, with how they're playing right now, they took their beating in the first game, but ever since then, they're showing teams that, hey, we're here, we're going to make an effort, and you're going to see something with us every week. Now, what was the spread again? Was it 50?
The over-under is 57, and the spread is 6.5.
All right.
And remember, it's Washington State, not Washington.
Washington State. Apologies. Yeah. Sorry, you did say the Cougars. So, Oregon will cover. And I think that Washington State, I think they're going to lose by 28.
Wow.
28.
Man, you're believing the – and you said hate to say it. Why do you hate to say it?
Well, for me, you and me, we've had our discussions outside of here about Oregon where we have spoken about them. Are
you not a Duck fan? I forgot.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm an Ohio State fan.
Oh, well, they don't really – I mean, yeah, they did play last year. I didn't – like, I know you're Ohio State. I thought you – you know, so you actually dislike Oregon.
Well, it's not dislike Oregon, but what it is for me, I'm a fan of college football. So what I do is I try to look at all the games, and Oregon's just one team I haven't really focused on as much. I mean, I have watched their games, and I've been able to see when they've done well, and I hope that they have great years every time, but it's just sometimes it's harder to root for them than other times.
Well, when they're playing Ohio State, you probably weren't rooting for them.
not at all. My daughter still gets upset thinking about that game last year.
That was fun. I'm going to go I'm actually going to go with the under.
Really?
Because I think that both teams are pretty good on defense. I mean, Oregon is really good against the run. Washington State can't run that much. So Washington State's going to probably be airing that ball out a lot. Cameron Ward's a little bit inconsistent. And while I do think there's some susceptibility with Oregon's pass defense, I don't think they're going to light up their Oregon's pass defense. Simultaneously, I think that Washington State is a pretty good defense. Jake Dickert was a defensive coordinator. He's a defensive coach. I think they're going to be able to stop the run a little bit, especially that it's at home. And I think they're going to force Nix to throw the ball. I think he'll turn the ball over. He has been known to turn the ball over on the road. I'm looking at kind of like a 31-21. I got Oregon covering, and I'm going to go with the under. Game number four, Arkansas Razorbacks versus the Texas A&M Aggies. It's a neutral site game at Dallas Stadium. The over-under is 48.5. That's too high. And then the spread is 1.5 Texas A&M. Who do you got? I mean, 1.5, that's almost a pick 'em. Who do you have, Arkansas versus Texas A&M, and do you have the over or the under?
What was the point total one more time?
48.5.
I think it's going to be very close, but I think they're going to cover. I think that
cover the spread or cover the points?
Cover the points.
Okay, gotcha.
Cover the points because I believe that Texas A&M, they're going to try to show that their fluke loss 2 weeks ago was just that, a fluke. But against Arkansas, I think that they're going to have a lot more of a struggle than they think. I'm going to pick Arkansas for this game. I think that they can beat Texas A&M. And even though they talked about how they had the great recruits, right now I'm still waiting to see how much of an impact that truly does for them, because they haven't really been tested yet. And I think that this is going, I mean, Miami tests them a little bit for the ACC, but now they're coming into conference play. I think Arkansas is going to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the under. I think it's gonna be a pretty, once again, I think Texas A&M is a pretty good defense. I don't think Arkansas is gonna be able definitely to throw the ball all over the field. I think they'll be able to run a little bit. A&M, I think Arkansas is a solid defense. You can pass the ball a little bit. They have some injuries in the secondary. A&M's passing offense hasn't been any good this year. I'm gonna go 24-21. I'm gonna go with Arkansas. They beat them last year, and I think they beat them again. Game number five. Wisconsin Badgers versus this crappy team called Ohio State. What happened? The over under is 57. The spread is 19. What do you got? What do you got, Alan? Your Ohio State Buckeyes. Do they cover the spread? Take your scarlet and red glasses off.
Scarlet and gray, sir. Scarlet and gray,
whatever.
But they are going to cover the spread, and they're going to cover the points. I believe that Ohio State's going to win by 3 touchdowns. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. I understand. Hey, I walked into that for my comments for Oregon, so that's okay. I respect your opinion for that, though. Just like being a football fan and college football fan, it's always fun to watch all the different games. I think that it's going to be a pretty nice game because it's a blackout game. And so whenever they have a game like that, they always come more prepared, and it just basically they show up more. And I'm waiting to see how CJ Stroud does. I mean, they're trying to get some of their players that offensively got hurt last week. So hopefully they're going to all be back, and it's going to be a dogfight. But I really think that Ohio State, they're just going to use the first half to blow them out and get a high enough score to where they can put in the second and third string like they did last week.
Easy victory here for the Badgers. Go on the road, beat Ohio State 45-17. Shut them down on defense. Really, the offense comes alive. Ohio State, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go. I actually think it's under.
Okay.
I think Wisconsin once again has a good defense, and I think they're going to be able to force some turnovers. Problem is, I don't think they're going to be able to get enough offense, specifically on the road. And then eventually not being able to take advantage of some of the turnovers catches up to them, and Ohio State's able to wear them down in the end and beat them about 34-20. So I actually have Wisconsin covering. I have the under, but I do have Ohio State winning outright. Last game, USC versus Oregon State at Oregon State at Corvallis.
Ooh.
Over under 71. USC favored by 6. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going to take the under. I do think USC probably is going to win, but Corvallis is a dangerous place to play. Because Oregon State, whenever they play their games there, I mean, they don't have the streak that Oregon has, but still, Corvallis is definitely a place where you go in there. If you're not prepared, you're in for a rude wake-up call very quickly. I don't know about covering the spread, but I think that it's going to be under 72. USC will win, but I think it's more going to be, let's say 42-17, if that.
You think they beat him by 42-17?
I'm going to say that for now. But
that's a pretty dominating victory by USC.
That's why I'm thinking is the first two quarters, they're going to hang in there. But then USC is just going to basically step on the throat in the second half.
That's a pretty high total, 71. USC, even the first couple weeks of the season, Stanford and Fresno State gave up 400 plus yards of offense. They really have struggled to stop the run, and they've struggled to stop the run the last few years. I think they do not have a lot of depth, and they're not that talented in the front seven. Oregon State has a good offensive line. They're a physical team. They're going to get down. They're going to go north and south. They also have good tight ends in the passing game, which also is very beneficial when you're trying to run at a team. Oregon State wins. Oregon State wins the game. It's a six-point spread for a reason. I mean, I think this is a game that's tough. I mean, it's on the road against a team that's physical and well coached. I probably have it landing in that like 38-31 game. Okay. I do think USC gets about 400 or 500 yards total offense. I do think USC's in the game because of their explosive offense. It's just if you don't stop the run and you're on the road, you're going to get worn down. And I think Oregon State's able to win it in the end. So I have Oregon State with the victory, and I go with the under barely. Just go with the under by just a smidge.
Okay. I mean, I can respect that. It's more just seeing how USC, how their offense shows up, and like you said, how their defense actually starts to hopefully play a little bit better, because yeah, they've been a liability for the running games the past few games, because it hasn't been that pretty for that. Looking at some of the other games that are going to be going on next weekend, this coming Saturday, we have Georgia going against Kent State at noon. We have Maryland and Michigan playing. Who do you have in that game?
I mean, I'm gonna probably take Michigan. I what's Maryland right now? Are they 2-1?
Actually, I believe they're 3-0.
Oh, I mean, I think Michigan's the better team. Is it at Michigan?
I believe it is.
Okay, yeah, I believe Michigan wins. How competitive it is, I haven't looked at the roster and how Maryland's done so far, but I definitely think Michigan's the better team.
I do know that Tua's brother's the starting quarterback, and apparently he's doing pretty well this year, but it's more just seeing if they're going to – Michigan's going to be their first big test, and as much as I would like to see them do well, I think they're going to get shut out against Michigan. I hate to say that, but I just think that, unfortunately, against Michigan, it's going to be way too powerful. It's going to be probably another bloodbath, just like last week. Baylor is going against Iowa State for their first Big 12 conference game. Who do you have in that one?
That's a pretty solid game. I was actually looking at, because I was trying to see what the schedule looked like the following week, and I know Baylor plays Oklahoma State, I think. And I was like, oh, which of these teams could fall out of the top 25? And that was the game I saw and thought Baylor can lose this game and they could then be out of the top 25. So it's at Iowa State. Iowa State's pretty good. They're a well-coached team. I actually think I might pick Iowa State in this game, at home, at Ames. I think I'm going to take Iowa State in the game.
It's definitely going to be a good game to start the conference season, and I think Baylor will pull it out, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than everyone thinks. Pittsburgh is playing Rhode Island on Saturday at noon. I think Pittsburgh should have this game pretty easily. Georgia is playing Kent State. Penn State's playing Central Michigan at 12 as well. For some of the 3:30 games, we have Miami playing Middle Tennessee State, Florida and Georgia, like we talked about, or Florida and Tennessee, sorry, like we referred. Texas and Texas Tech, that should be a pretty good game. Who do you think, who are you going to pick in that game?
I'd probably pick Texas.
Okay. Tulsa plays Ole Miss at 4. Oregon and Washington State is at 4. Arkansas, Texas A&M is at 7. Kentucky faces Northern Illinois at 7. Then we have the 7:30 slate of games with number 3 Ohio State playing Wisconsin at 7:30. You have Alabama at Vanderbilt. I know this game's probably going to be a blowout, but do you think Vanderbilt's going to get maybe 2 touchdowns?
I mean, they haven't been good for years. I wouldn't count on it.
Okay. Connecticut has a chance to rebound against number 12 NC State. Oklahoma plays Kansas State. What do you think about this game?
Kansas State had a pretty bad loss last week to Tulsa. They looked pretty good the first 2 weeks of the season. They blew out Missouri the week before. Who knows? I mean, they have a good run game. Adrian Martinez, he's kind of Adrian Martinez. He can be good, and he turns the ball over a lot. But they've been a bugaboo for Oklahoma in the past. It could be a tricky game. I think I'm going to take Oklahoma. But Kansas State, it could be a team that does some good things in that game.
I'm going to go and I'm going to pick Kansas State for the upset in that game.
Really?
Yes. I think that even though Brett Venables is off to a good start, I think that this is going to be one game that's going to be kind of a reckoning that he hasn't seen coming with him being coached, just because I think Kansas State has a lot more weapons that people aren't as prepared for, even though they did lose. They did have that rough game. But everybody has a rough game at least one time during the year. Sometimes they'll win it, sometimes they'll lose it. I'm gonna kind of consider that one as a wash, just to see if they're able to bounce back this week and it's even better. For the 9:30, we do have the USC and Oregon State game. Wyoming plays BYU at 10:15. Utah and Arizona State is going to be another intriguing Pac-12 matchup. Who do you have winning there?
Intriguing as in what?
Well, since Herm Edwards got fired, just seeing how the new coach takes over and if they're able to score maybe 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Utah's better. I think that's a game. I think Utah's going to be a pretty good team. I think Utah is a game. Utah lost the opening. They got a lot of hype in the preseason. We're a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. Then went down to the swamp, like I predicted, and lost. I said that it was going to happen. I said it's a tough place to play at the beginning of the season. Florida does have athletes. And then I think Utah is all of a sudden going to be – people aren't talking about them. They're talking about everyone else in the Pac-12, but not them. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to look up at the week, let's say 10. I think Utah's going to be 9-1. I think Utah's a team that – I think I picked them to lose to Oregon in Oregon, but they might not lose that. They might not lose again this season, honestly. I think they're a pretty good team, well-coached team, good quarterback play, good tight end play, good running game, play solid defense. I think they're good. I think they're a 10-2, maybe 11-1 team.
Okay. Now, the last Pac-12 game I see is we have on the schedule at 10:30, Stanford and Washington. Yeah, I think this one could maybe decide partially for that side of the Pac-12.
Well, the Pac-12 doesn't have that side anymore. It's they got rid of divisions, and I don't think Stanford's is. You think Stanford is competing for a Pac-12 title?
I don't think Stanford can per se, but the thing is, I think that Stanford in every game that they played, they've at least shown up and made an effort. I don't think that they're going to beat Washington, because I think Washington just is going to – I think that Washington's going to push them away pretty quickly. And I'm not going to say it's a blowout, but I'm going to say that they're going to have a comfortable lead throughout the game.
I mean, I think it's tricky because Stanford does tend to play Washington pretty hard, pretty good. They have always played him pretty good. Mm-hmm. Even when Washington's had their good years, they tend to lose to Stanford or struggle with Stanford. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Stanford's really any good on defense this year. And Washington has a pretty good offense now. I mean, it's odd what just a change of a coach is, but you're seeing Michael Penix get the ball down to those dynamic wide receivers, and I don't think Stanford's going to stop them very much. So, I think this is a victory here by Washington. And I don't personally think Washington and Stanford are going to be challenging for the Pac-12 title. I think the Pac-12 title will come down to Oregon, USC, Utah. I think those are the better teams. And I think Washington's look better, and I think Washington could be the fourth best team. But I also could see Washington losing some games here, losing to UCLA, losing to Oregon, losing to Washington State. So they're a team that they're doing well now, and they've been impressive, but I could also see them being an 8-4 team at the end of the season, which doesn't really put you in position to even play for the Pac-12 title. Yeah, that's just my opinion.
Fair enough. I can respect that. I mean, it's still – I just think for the early part of the Pac-12 schedule, I think it's a pretty big game, at least kind of set things off, just because you're going to see who's going to have good starts and who's going to have bad starts. So it's just, since that's one of the ones, it's one of the first ones, I'm just kind of using it as like a stepping stone to see how kind of the conference play is going to be for them. So since we're in the Pac-12, what do you think about Herm Edwards getting fired?
Long time coming. He didn't do very well. He had obviously the scandal after the COVID year. Not surprising. I think it was something that just wasn't working, and he was not heading the right direction. Recruiting was going bad. The on-field play had really gone in the wrong direction. Guys had transferred out of the program. Writing was on the wall, and hopefully they can get a good coach and go a better direction. And I think it's a pretty intriguing school. It's in Arizona. There's some good prep athletes. There's some good resources out there. People wouldn't mind going to Arizona State. So I think Arizona State would be a decent job.
Who are your two early picks, if you have any, for taking that job?
See, the problem is right now with a job. Sorry, I'm yawning. I'm going to have to go here in a minute. But because I'm just getting – I'm like, finally clocked me. But I think here's the problem with the Arizona State and a Pac-12 job right now. What's going to happen with the conference? Is the conference going to be around in 2 years? Is it going to be in the Big 12? You just don't know what's going to happen. So it's a job. It's in a good recruiting area. Arizona, you got Texas nearby. You got California nearby. It's obviously good weather. There is some dynamics of Arizona State that are attractive, but they've not been great for quite a while, and they have this conference kind of where they're going to be bugaboo over their head. I could see a young up-and-coming coach be an option. Kenny Dillingham, the offensive coordinator for Arizona, for Oregon is considered a possible option. I could see a Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator for Baylor. I could see a Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator for – I could see an innovative offensive coach saying, hey, I can get some athletes there. I can take this offensive there, and I can make it interesting. I could also see maybe you're looking at like the Appalachian State coach, maybe a coach that's playing for a non-Power 5 team. Maybe Gus Malzahn, who got exiled to UCF for a couple of years. Maybe he comes back and looks at the position. Maybe Lance Leopold, Kansas to Arizona State, probably a little better job at Arizona State. Those are some options. I kind of, for some reason, I'm getting in my mind, they went with Herm Edwards. They weren't with this CEO, ex-head coach. Mm-hmm. Something about it seems like they'd go with an innovative offensive mind. They could, because a creative offensive coach could recruit at a decent level and do some good things in that conference as long as it stays in that conference. And if they move to the Big 12, could do some good things in the Big 12 because that's that's an offensive conference. So, yeah, I would say look for a guy like that. Jeff Traylor for UTSA is another guy who I'd keep an eye on.
Okay. Like I talked about before, I used to do the bonehead player person of the week. This week, when I saw about Appalachian State, how they won on a Hail Mary, the quarterback, I thought that he would be out celebrating with his teammates. Instead, I go and look at the video on ESPN. He was helping people out of the stands, making sure they didn't fall when they were jumping out of the stands as they rushed the field.
What a gentleman.
I mean, that says something right there, because after he just led that huge comeback, and how they how that game ended, you would have thought he would have been running around just enjoying the moment, but instead doing that, I think that he definitely change people's minds about him if they hadn't just how he's been playing this whole year.
I agree. You should have him marry your daughter, Alan.
Yeah, no, she's a little young, and we're not going to go down that road yet. Oh, so.
Okay, that was... Well, when she becomes of age, she can marry a guy like Chase Bryce.
We'll look into that, but I'm trying... Considering we're not at that point, I'd rather avoid that for now, because actually next week, when we do our next show, it's her birthday, so... We will cross Ohio, that bridge.
She's an Ohio State fan?
She is.
Well, then maybe she can marry a guy like CJ Stroud. I don't know.
Hey, who knows? Him or maybe Cade. Can't think of his last name, but Cade Stroman, maybe? Cade Stroud.
Cade Stroud?
Was it Stroman? The tight end for Ohio State, the one who. He scored the touchdown, who everybody was happy about, who scored a touchdown. If she can meet a guy like him, I would be happy. That or that fullback that scored the touchdown on Saturday. I mean, either of those two, well, we got some good options.
I thought you were going to say Cade McNamara for a second. I'm like,
oh, no. Oh, no, 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 what? No, no. No.
Traitor.
Oh, no, no. I would not go down that road. Her mother is a Michigan fan, and we've had some entertaining conversations about that. Which,
well, she would want him to marry Cade McNamara.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Or JJ McCarthy now that he's the starter.
Yeah, we'll see. She would probably want her to marry someone like Chad Henne while we're at it. But, I mean, I don't even want to think about crossing that bridge today. Maybe another day. But right now, looks like we're heading into another big week of games just to see where you're going to see who are the men and who are the boys. That being said, how could we reach you on social media, sir?
At TurnerCast on Twitter. Check me out. Feel free to message me and tell me how all my picks are wrong.
Do you have any other social media? Or is that just the main one?
Yeah, I've Tyler Turner. Tyler Turner VA on Instagram, and then I have Facebook, but don't contact me on Facebook, please. Or don't even contact me on Instagram. My Instagram's not really, I don't really use it for sports. If you want to give me my opinion on the political left, then follow me on Instagram and Facebook. But if you want my sports takes, TurnerCast on Twitter.
There we have it. And if you want to see if I'm going to post anything, we have Alan F. West on Twitter, which I need to jump back on and put a post on. I've only haven't done it since 2013. But Instagram, I have alanwest.46, and I posted on there last year. So I got to try and make my one post every month or two.
2013?
Yes, sir.
How do you even have that login in anymore? What was your post about in 2013?
I don't even remember off the top of my head. That's how long ago it was. I think it had to do with either Ohio State or it had to do with, I think, a football injury that happened or a football late hit. So, speaking of that, even though it's pro football, did you watch the Bills game at all last night?
Very briefly.
Did you see the Lane Johnson hit?
Oh, he got his neck hurt?
Yes.
Yeah, that looked terrible. Yeah.
That was a scary hit. Luckily, he's already out of the hospital, so that's good. But that was...
That was ugly. Yeah.
That was a very scary hit. But, that being said, hopefully we don't have any hits like that this weekend, and all we have to focus on are just some great games, and we'll be able to talk more about them next week. You can follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1 and visit us on our website, thesportscast.net. Make sure to check out our show schedule throughout the week. This is Alan West. That is Tyler Turner. We will see you next week. Have a great night.
Peace out.